Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for what you have established in our lives, for what you have brought us through. The wilderness experiences, the valley experiences, the mountaintop experiences, Lord. We thank you for laboring with us, Lord. We thank you for bringing change and transformation into our lives. And we pray, O God, that there will be built into us a witness and a testament of who you are and all that you are. That out of the situations and circumstances of our life, there will rise within us a conviction and a confidence that you, O God, are the difference in our lives. That you, O God, are the treasure in our lives. That you, O God, are the abiding, Lord. That you are the one who changeth not, Lord. You are the one thing, O God, in our lives, O God, who is always there, Lord. And your presence, O God, the reality of you is a growing reality. It is a living manifestation of life, O God. Life forevermore. Assurance, O God. Confidence, O God. A love that brings change, a love that brings transformation, a love that changes us in our character, our natures, our personalities. We want to thank you, O God, for your persevering work in our lives, for what your Spirit has worked into us in the name of Jesus, of what your Spirit has worked into us that is of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, we want to bless you. We want to give you glory and honor, worship and praise for all that you have poured into our lives in your righteousness, Father. We thank you for the spirit and life of Jesus, for the faith and love of Jesus, for the character and nature of Jesus, for the witness and testimony of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for what you have woven into the fabric of our being. And we pray that as you create us, O God, we pray that you will create us with a clean heart, that you will create us with the mind of Christ, that you will create us, O God, with a sense of destiny in our hearts, that you will create us, O God, in a pure heart that is able to see you, that is able to behold you, that is able, O God, to understand your ways, O God. A heart that is able to cling to you, a heart that is able to draw from you, a heart that is able to stand before you, O God, with a conviction and a confidence, O God, of what you have for us, O God, as a purpose and a direction, Lord. We pray that you will manifest your calling into our lives, giving, O God, expression and clarity to that calling, Father. We pray that every deception of the enemy be uprooted, be nailed to the cross of Jesus, and be entirely, O God, nullified in our lives. We pray that every spirit of confusion, O God, be uprooted, O God, and be removed from our lives, O God. We pray that you will cleanse us and sanctify us, that there will be a clarity of thought in our hearts, O God, that in our innermost being, O God, we will be set free. In conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, we will know the freedom and liberty that comes, O God, in the truth, Lord. The truth that is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. The truth that, O Lord, gives us, O God, a sense, O God, of purpose, O God. A sense of destiny, O God. A sense, O God, of achievement in our lives, O God. Father, we thank you that the meek will inherit the earth, O God. We thank you, O God, that the poor, that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are poor in spirit, O God. And truly, Lord, as we hunger and thirst for you, O God, surely you will bring forth that which stands in the word of your oath, O God. That which will not be shaken in our lives. That which you have bequeathed to us, O God, from the foundations of the world. For you have known us before our unformed substance. And you have purposed, O God, awesome things in our lives. As we rise, O God, from the muck, O God, of this world that we live in. Father, we thank you, O God, for the new realities that are opening to our hearts and our minds, Lord. So let your light shine in us, O God. Let your light, O God, bring clarity, O God, to our life, O God. Let your light, O God, bring purpose to us, O God. Let your light give us a sense of destiny, O God, of sense of direction, O God, that as we leave 2004 and go into the year 2005, Lord, that we will see the purposes of our God being fulfilled in our lives, being revealed in our lives. That we will have the courage and the strength and the conviction and the confidence to walk into those purposes, to be a blessing, Father. To truly, O God, realize the anointings and the giftings that stand in the name of Jesus, the anointings and giftings that operate by the Holy Spirit, so that we will do all things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. To be set free from the law of sin and death, and to truly see others being set free from the law of sin and death. We pray that you will bring forth this workmanship as your creative work. work within us, Father, in accordance with the word of the oath that stands over our life in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you have purpose, and we pray that you will enable us to realize that purpose, O God. So, Holy Spirit, we commit our hearts, our minds, our spirit, souls, and bodies into your hands, and we pray that you will reveal Jesus Christ in us, and in the revelation of Christ Jesus, you will fashion us and form us in his image and in his fullness, so that we will become what the Father has purposed us to become, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of the word of the oath, and the word of the oath is part and parcel of the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We are on the subject of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and we are on the specific revelation of the word of the oath. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, and he answered and said to them, this is the parable of the sower, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. They did not see it and they did not hear it simply because they were under the law. But in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have entered a new reality of grace upon grace. And if we fix our eyes on Jesus, all that God has for us will be revealed to us. There is a prerequisite for this revelation taking place in your heart, and that is your pursuit of seeking to love God. So let's cross-reference from here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, these are the mysteries of the kingdom. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So you need to ask God to enable you to love him. You cannot love God out of your own strength, out of your own good intentions. God has to enable you to love him. As a prerequisite to you loving God, you have to realize the revelation of the love of God in your own heart. If you don't appreciate, and if you don't taste, and if you don't actualize the love of God for your life, then you will not be able to love God in return. So God first loves us, and we have to reciprocate that love. And if you are willing to love God, if you're willing to seek the love of God and to express the love of God or the love for God from your heart, then God says he will open to you things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, all that has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love him. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of the word of the oath, because the parable of the sower speaks of the seed of the word. And there are many types of word. And we have been talking about the mysteries of heaven from the perspective of the word of God. We have talked about things like the word of the cross, the word of righteousness. We have talked about the word of life. We have talked about the word of faith. We have talked about the word of his power. We have talked about the word of Christ. Right, so we are talking now about the word of the oath. And I really want to spend some time on the word of the oath. I think this is the third or fourth week we are on the subject of the word of the oath. Right, so let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law. The word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. It's very important to understand that the word of the oath is entirely based on the Son, His position. And if you are willing to give the Son His rightful position in your heart, then this oath stands over your life. And this oath cannot be shaken. This oath is the oath of God. Verse 22 says that Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And that guarantee is worked in an oath that God wants to unfold in your life. He wants to actually work it into your heart. The parable of the sower says that the seed of the word that is planted in your heart has the growth potential of 30-fold measures, 60-fold measures, and 100-fold measures. 30-fold simply means 30 times 100% on a continuous basis, or a 60 times 100%, or a 100 times 100% basis of growth in all eternity. That is the prophetic word. That is the word that God wants to develop in your life. It is not about what you can do. It's about what God can do with you. And what God can do with you is structured in an oath that God has sworn over your life through the blood of Jesus. Now, this oath only stands in the blood of Jesus. This oath only stands in the Son of God. This oath only stands as a guarantee in the name of Jesus. This oath can only be developed in the name of Jesus. It cannot be developed in the righteousness of man. It cannot be developed under the law, because this oath came after the law. So this word of the oath is open to you through the word of grace. And we talked about the word of grace. And the word of grace is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, right? We found that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32. Paul writes, and now, not Paul writes, I mean, Mark writes the words of Paul. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. Build you up and give you. And it comes out of the word. And that word of His grace stands in the reality of an oath that God has sworn over your life in the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is powerful. If you understand the word of the oath, you will understand that you are no longer under the law. And you will understand that progress in the kingdom of God is not based on human ability. Progress in the kingdom of God is built on what you are able to receive and realize from God. What you are able to see God developing and expressing through your life. And as we go into the year 2005, you need to really sit down and think in the next 3 or 4 weeks that we have before we cross into 2005. What is it, Lord, that you want to do with me? Don't look at your age. Look at God's word. And look at living your life fruitfully. The fruitfulness of the Lord in your life. The fruitfulness that comes out of the work of God in your life. I think it is very exciting that we have an oath sworn over our life. If you are willing to pursue Jesus, the revelation of His testimony in your heart, if you're willing to pray in tongues and ask God to reveal the mysteries of His word into your heart, there is so much that you can look forward to. It will not simply drop out of heaven, but it will be something that you can pursue and receive and realize. It is guaranteed that it will work in your life. So as we leave 2004, you must look forward to what God has for you. What do you think God created you for? You are reading the word, you are listening to the word of God. What is it that God is telling you through the Word? What is God trying to achieve in your life? If you don't know, it's all right. Just take that word, I don't know, to the Lord and ask Him, give me direction. Give me a sense of purpose. Open my heart. Let me see. Give me understanding. Enable me to know what you can do with my life. So many of us think of a Christianity where God will bless us so that we can continue to try our best. Not realizing that our best is only what we can do. But God's best is what He can do with you. And what He can do with you stands in an oath over your life. God's name is an oath. I am who I am that I am. God's name is an oath. God's word to you is based on the oath of who He is and all that He is. If you understand that the word of God is based on who God is and all that God is, ask God to give you revelation knowledge so that you can take hold of the word of God and see it as an oath specific to your life. Ask God for that ability, that capacity to see, that capacity to understand, that capacity to take hold of something and pursue it so that it can be developed into your being, it can be developed into your heart, it can be developed into your mind so that you can become sons of God. This has nothing to do with your education. It's got nothing to do with what you are capable of doing in yourself. It has got everything to do with God, what God has for you. Who is this God who is the creator of the universe? Who is this God that is your Father? Who is this God who is your Savior and your Redeemer? Who is this God who says that by name He is your provider? That by name He is your shepherd? That by name He is the Almighty God and He is the Almighty God who is your God? Who is this God who says He is the Most High God, the owner and the possessor of the entire created universe, and He is your God? You know, when God introduced His name to Abraham as God Most High, Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. How many years have you been partaking of bread and wine? How much of the Most High God and what He has have you appreciated? Have you really thought about it? What do you want to see in your life? What do you think God wants to develop in your life and through your life? You know, you have to think about your life. You can't just wait for a prophet to prophesy over you. You have to take hold of what the Holy Spirit, who is inside of you, who is living inside of you and who is going to be in you forever. Unless you do something stupid. But in principle, the Holy Spirit is in you and He is there as your teacher. He is there as the Spirit of your Father. He is there as the Spirit of Christ. He is there as the Creator God. He is there in you. He has the capacity to create. He has the capacity to renew and to regenerate you. He has the capacity to clothe you. He has the capacity to teach you. He has the capacity to heal you. He has got the capacity to anoint you. He is there to reveal the treasures of Jesus Christ to your heart. There is nothing that is impossible to any one of us. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the last line of verse 20, Jesus actually says this, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Why shall nothing be impossible to you? In our human being, we know that most things are impossible to us. Yet Jesus is saying that in the faith that God wants to develop in you, nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you because God has sworn an oath over your life that you will become sons of God. God has sworn an oath over your life that you will be kings. God has sworn an oath over your lives that you will be a prophetic people. What does it mean to be a prophetic people? That you are creatures of fulfillment. When we partake of Holy Communion, the reason why we partake of Holy Communion is because Jesus said, this Passover will be fulfilled in your life. He suffered so that this Passover will be fulfilled in your life and my life. He celebrated that Passover with his disciples with delight in his heart, although he was going to suffer in order to establish that Passover over their lives. He said with fervent desire, I have desired to partake of this Passover with you before I suffer. Why did he have that fervent desire? Because there was an oath that God was going to implement through his blood. We are Christians based on that oath. If you don't move out of that oath, everything that God has for you will be fulfilled. But for things to be fulfilled in your life, you have to receive and realize the Word of God. You've got to put it to practice in your life. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to direct you into what God has sworn over your life. That's why we are doing this teaching. I know it can be something that seemingly is very, very deep. It is not really. When the seed of Christ was planted inside of you, you experienced your first reality of the word of the oath. And so many things were opened to you just like that. God gave you a prophetic picture that this is how he will create you. But you have something called your own free will. If you don't respond to God, then there's nothing God can do with what he has for you. If you think that you are not up to the mark, you're missing the whole point. Because the kingdom of God is not built on a meritocracy. It is not built on the basis of human influence. Who you know, how much you have, what is the color of your skin, which segment of society do you come from? It's got nothing to do with anything like that. The kingdom of God is open in freedom and liberty to he who is willing to hear. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Of his fullness, we have all received. And everything that stands in the fullness of Jesus Christ is meant to be developed as an oath of confidence. So Jesus says, if you have confidence in such a way, these mountains will be removed. Based on your faith. That's what God wants to develop in you. That's what this word of oath is all about. God wants to build a sense of confidence inside of you such that you know that you have what God is saying. See, everything stands in your heart. God gave you tongues so that you can realize things beyond your own fears, beyond what you think is reality that your head has got. In the modern management systems of the world, we are talking about thinking outside the box. God has designed this entire scripture so that you will get out of the box. And it is not merely thinking out of the box, it is actually living outside the box. It is actually living grace upon grace, taking hold of the blessings, building something knowing that God will build you from generation to generation. We are here based on oath that God swore to Abraham. Every one of us sitting here is standing here based on an oath that God swore to Abraham. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22 as one example. Verse 16. Let's read from verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens." And now we are talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We are the stars of the heavens. We are the morning stars in the making. And as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. Obedience involves first hearing what God is saying. Obedience involves understanding what God is saying. Obedience involves accepting what God is saying. Obedience involves holding the word of God in a good and honest heart and walking into it through your life. If you read the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, in Mark chapter 14, and in Luke chapter 15, you will understand that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, mentions all of these stages of realizing obedience. God gave you tongues so that you will be enabled by the Holy Spirit to receive the obedience that Jesus Christ expressed in his testimony. In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 11 it says, "By his knowledge the righteous one will justify the many." By his knowledge, by the knowledge that Jesus Christ perfected and completed through his life and his testimony through the cross, you and I are meant to be justified. So in his knowledge is the ability to obey God. In his knowledge is the ability to love God. In his knowledge is the ability to receive and realize from God all that God has for you. It is part of what is called the mystery of Christ. So when you pray in a tongue, pray that the mystery of Christ will be brought to fulfillment. What do you need from Christ Jesus? Do you need his nature? Do you need his character? It is all given to you by oath. Jesus Christ is given to you as a guarantee, but you've got to look into Jesus and ask that which God has given you in Jesus Christ. What do you need from Jesus Christ? His character, his nature, his faith, his love, his witness, his testimony. Do you need the mind of Christ? Ask and it shall be given to you. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. Ask and it shall be given to you. All who ask will receive. We are not asking. We are not asking. The amount of effort that we put in taking our children from one tuition to the other, we don't even apply 1/100th of that effort to asking God for what he has for us. That if we look at our lives, we spend more time chasing the things of the world, which we know will pass away in time, than to pursue those things that we know will stand the test of time. So Jesus is given to you as a guarantee of a better covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is by definition an oath that God has sworn to you in Jesus' name. So what do you want from that covenant? You have to think through it and you have to ask. I can't ask for you. You have to ask for yourself. What do you want? Do you want the mind of Christ? Are you willing to spend 10 minutes every day praying in tongues that God will give you the mind of Christ? Taking hold of a verse in the Bible and asking God to manifest that verse in your heart so that it will transform your mind so that you will be Christ-like? Will you trade those 2 hours or 3 hours that you spend in front of the idiot box to asking God to do something in your life? It comes to very basic things that we do every day. Will you trade the 2 hours that you spend grumbling and criticizing and what shall I say, waddling in your self-pity, to having the courage to take hold of what God has for you and to pursue it? It takes courage to realize the things of God. If you don't have courage, Jesus has got more than enough courage for you and for me. If you don't have wisdom, Jesus Christ has got more than enough wisdom for you. If you don't have the capacity to understand, Jesus Christ has got more than enough capacity to understand for you. If you can't love God, God, Jesus Christ, lived to love God. And everything in Jesus Christ has been bequeathed to you as a guarantee. If you ask, you will get it. And it's available to all of us. Nobody is shortchanged. Whether you're green in color, pink in color, blue in color, purple in color, it doesn't really matter to the Lord. But so many of us will rather turn around and muddle in the mud. We will rather spend hours complaining about the government, complaining about our lot in life, complaining about our grandfathers, our parents, complaining about our wives, complaining about our husbands, complaining about our brothers, complaining about our sisters, complaining about this and complaining about that. Why don't you stop the silly complaining and start getting hold of the Word of God? All that wasted energy in babbling and muttering and going around in circles, why don't you trade it to receiving from God His transforming power? Why don't you trade it to receive from God the mind of Christ that will enable you to see what you're unable to see? Obviously, Elisha saw something that we don't see. The axe sank in the water. He throws a twig, the axe comes up, the twig goes down. Elisha saw what nobody else could see. So why don't you find out, how did that axe float? How did that Red Sea open? That rod that Moses waved was the oath of God. It is no longer in a rod. It is manifested in a witness that God is interested in developing inside of you. It stands in blood, water, and spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, Moses says, "The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. under the new covenant that has become a living reality. A living reality of a witness that has the potentials of functioning as the oath of God alive in your life. Isn't that exciting? That word of the oath that God wants to build inside of you is meant to be a functioning witness in the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it will be done for you, it will be given to you. And you will be the head and not the tail. You alone will be above and not beneath. That wherever you go, you will be successful. That wherever you walk, you will possess the land. Because that is your destiny. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Right? He didn't say it may be opened unto you. Perhaps if you fasted long enough, it will be opened unto you. He said it will be opened unto you. Why can't we hear? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But obviously, God's plan in our life is laid into our hearts, line upon line, precept upon precept. It is not going to work like the witch doctor casting a spell. It's not going to work out of a mantra. It is going to be worked in God's plan. When God brings something into your life, He's interested first and foremost in changing you. That you got to understand. God cannot bless a serpent. God will bless a son. God will bless and bless and bless and bless and bless a son. Because He loves that son. But if that son wants to be a serpentine son, then God will not bless that son. He will crush that son under His feet, because that is not a son. So God swore an oath. And that oath is working. It worked through the idolatry of our generations to bring us out of those idolatrous realities. And it was open to you in an instant. There is power. There is power in what God has given you in His word. Are you willing to take hold of that word? You know, just as an athlete would train for the Olympics or for a race, you too have to train. You too have to spend that time with the Lord. You have to exercise your own free will. You have to exercise what God has given you. You have to go after the things of God. You have to pursue God. You're not going to go anywhere feeling sorry for yourself. You're not going to go anywhere complaining about your lot in life. But you will go somewhere if you turn to the Lord. God will bring restoration. Behold, I make all things new. But it will take time. Why will it take time? Because we have to be trained to see those things. We have to be trained to understand those things. We have to be trained to be able to walk into those things. We have to be trained to receive from God. We have to be trained to receive the anointings and giftings of God. We have to be trained in order to operate those anointings and giftings in the name of Jesus and not in our own names. Can you appreciate that, brethren? It is so important for us to appreciate that. Yes, there is an oath, and it's awesome. But that oath stands only in the name of Jesus. Move out of the name of Jesus, and that oath no longer exists. So this oath is being developed in your heart. So let me go to one of my favorite verses, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. You know this verse, but I'm going to read it anyway. And so we have the prophetic word, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. In your hearts. Watch over your heart. What does your heart have inside of it? If it's full of anger and bitterness, it's not going to go anywhere. Those poisoned waters will kill you. But if the prophetic word inside of you is being nurtured in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus, what an awesome potential it has. It says it will rise in your heart as a morning star. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. So in Jesus Christ, you have the light of life. In Jesus Christ, you have the light of life. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness. He shall have the light of life. He shall have the light of life. He shall have the light of life. God is light. God is life. You shall have the light of life, provided you are focused on Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. What is he saying? Very simple. What are you looking at? What are the eyes of your heart fixed on? If you see darkness, darkness is by definition the absence of light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. What are you fixed on? The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? There is a false light. And that false light is darkness. See, Jesus is pointing to you a very simple thing. You don't have to stand on your head, balance on one finger and fast 40 days and 40 nights to find the truth. He says, watch what you see. What are the eyes of your heart fixed on? If you're unable to see the light, ask the Lord to enable you to see the light. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit will enable you to see. Because the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. And by the Spirit, you can see the things of God. By the Spirit, you can behold the things of God supernaturally. So all of us, most of us here, speak in tongues. Don't just waste your time speaking in tongues. Speak in tongues the right way. Go after the Word of God. Go after what God has given you in Jesus Christ. Ask for the light of life. Ask that you will see what will be real in your life. Not something that you work for and then it disappears in your life. This light is so important. And all you need in order to absorb light is to see. How difficult is that, guys?
His father in the sacrificial stone, because if he could carry the log.
All you need in order to receive the light of life is to see. What stands in this light? Let's turn to James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. How does it come down? It comes down as light. The things that come from above come as light. They come in revealed realities. What eye has not seen and ear has not heard, what has not entered the heart of man, all that God has for those who love Him. God brings light into you by revelation. Revelation enters the heart of man. When God takes the word and He reveals something out of that word, He is releasing the light that is in the word. And He's saying, every good thing bestowed, not some good things. Every good thing bestowed. Bestowed means it is bestowed, guys. You don't have to run a million miles to find it. That's why when Moses announced the word of God, he told them, you don't have to go into heaven to find the word of God. You don't have to cross the sea to get the word of God. Behold, the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. In the word of God is the light of God. If that word is revealed into your heart will realize the light, and your heart can see in that light. And when God releases that word into you in the light of life, that light is like an oath of God in your life. It cannot be shaken. It can only be removed if you choose to see something else. And that's experiential. If you look at the wrong thing, behold, everything inside of you picks up the darkness. You look at your spouse's fault, you get angry, and lo and behold, darkness sweeps inside of you. And the Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood. All of us have experienced that, yet all of us keep on doing that. Now that is what you call stupidity. You know the devil's in it. You know he's coming in to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and we still do it. So that light of life is based on revealed knowledge. So that's why we teach the word, so that you will receive that light and you will be able to see. And behold, all things are new. When John the Baptist announced Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb, see him. Behold the Lamb." Let's look at Revelation 21. Verses 22 and 23. Talking about the new heavens and the new earth. Talking about the new Jerusalem. "And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." And its lamp is the Lamb. Amen. What is God saying? That the power of this revelation is so powerful that one day you will live in the light of what God manifests in that revelation. Powerful words. Powerful realities. They are not of the intellect of man. You see, when God reveals something inside of you, it is something of God being manifested inside of you. When God uses the term light of life, he's just telling you that in that light you have life. You can live that light. That light shines in its strength. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 16. You know this vision that John saw in the island of Patmos. And it says here, "And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword." Listen, that sharp two-edged sword is the word of God. "And his face was like the sun shining in its strength." When that word of God is revealed into you, there will be a light that shines out of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And that light will shine in its strength. And in the light of the bright morning star, you become a morning star. Powerful words. It is available to all of us. Don't ever think that the Word of God is intellectually appraised. It is not. That's why in the prophets it is said, "Pray in tongues and God will give you knowledge." He will interpret the message for you. He will lay it into you line upon line, precept upon precept. He will teach you. He will give you a knowledge form that is based in a rest. Your heart will rest in God, and he will teach you. It is written in the prophets that all of us are to be taught of God. Jesus repeated that in John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. He said that all of us will be taught by God our Father. How will God teach us? He will teach us by taking that word and making it light inside of you. And he will take that light and make it life inside of you. When God teaches, he doesn't teach you to give you an idea or to give you a concept like we do in the world system. When God teaches you, you will live that word. That word will make you become someone brand new. "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. You know how much power there is in light. How much power there is in light. If you look at our sun, right? That light that comes out of the sun is entire nuclear in nature, isn't it? The the seed of Christ. You know how much of light there is in the seed of Christ. In order to develop the light that is in the seed of Christ, you have to open the Word of God. This Word of God is what will release the light that is in the seed of Christ. So when John saw Christ, he said, his face is like the sun shining in its strength. Let me show you another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. He's saying what? That the glory of God is in the face of Christ Jesus. And there is a knowledge form that will manifest in your heart. Now don't try and appraise that intellectually. You can't. Your mind doesn't function in realities like this, but your heart can understand it. And verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now God calls that light in the face of Christ Jesus the treasure that your heart can take possession of. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Isn't that good? Aren't you tired of trying so hard? All this is oath. The glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus is oath. And that oath is meant to become light inside of your heart. Isn't that powerful? Can you imagine that God has sworn something, and what God has sworn has become light inside of you? And you can walk in that light. Thy word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet. But it's far more than that. Let's turn to Psalm 36. Verse 9. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. Period. With him is the fountain of life. And then he makes a statement there. In thy light, we see light. So if you give God preeminence, you will see his light, and in his light, you will have light. Is that hard? Come on, guys. If we switch off all these lights, you won't see any light. Put on the light, and in this light, you can see light. Hello. You live by that all the time, guys. Now transform this light into the radiance of the living God. And he says, if in thy light you will see light. Can't you appreciate it? I mean, to see this light, what do? You fast 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the oath is not difficult. You understand? In thy light we see light. You live by that in the natural all the time. The sun rises up in the day and you see light. You take it for granted, you don't appreciate it. But that is part of God's oath in the natural. Remove that light and we are all dead. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. You know, last week we talked about the oath that God swore to David, right? Look at this verse 25. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant for day and night stand not, and the fixed patterns of heaven and earth I have not established, then I would reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant. What is God saying here? That the promises that I have given you through Jacob and through David my servants, they can only fail if my covenant for light and night and day is not standing. The fact that we see light every day is based on the covenant that God has sworn that there will be light. So the oath of God's word is something that whole human race lives by every day. The laws that govern, the natural laws that govern the earth, the natural laws that govern the movement of the planets. What makes the earth go around the sun, guys? Who moves it? How come it moves in such precise terms? Who designed the weather patterns, the seasons? Read the book of Job. God asked Job some very relevant questions. You're questioning me. So he asked, do you know why this happens and that happens? If you know, tell me. So what does Job say? I have heard of you. Now I see you and I repent. What makes him able to see? He has received the light of God. He saw God in a new light and he repented. We need to see. We need to see. And if we see in his light, we will have light. Praise the Lord. And that light is an oath. Amen. Even as the sun rises every day, based on that oath that God has sworn. So, the oath that God has sworn in His Son is there to give you everything that you will have in all eternity. Even as you do not question the fact that the sun will rise up the next day. So God is saying, don't question what I have given you in my Son. Just accept my Son. Read my word. Understand my word in the testimony of my Son, and you will have everything that that word has for you in my Son. In my Son, that word will become an oath in your life. It will be something that my Spirit will work into you to bring alive in you. I have sworn that I will make you sons of God. I have sworn in the blood of the Lamb to save you. I have sworn in the blood of the Lamb to make you kings. I have sworn in the blood of the Lamb to make you a prophetic people. I have sworn in the blood of the Lamb to give you eternal life. I have sworn in the blood of the Lamb that I will heal you, that I will put none of these diseases over you. I have sworn in the blood of the Lamb that you are anointed and appointed for a great and holy purpose. And everything that I have appointed in your life, you are not worthy of. But nonetheless, I have sworn it in myself. So even with Abraham, God says, I have sworn by myself. I have sworn by myself. I have sworn in my own name. That's why this is called the Word of God. If it was just Moses' words and Jeremiah's words and Ezekiel's words, it ain't worth anything. But these are the words of God. And what God presents by His name. You know, if you go through the Old Testament, you will find those words, Lord, in capital letters. All that means Yahweh. And everything that is written with Yahweh in it is an oath. And there are thousands of words that are sworn in oath. Jesus comes and he says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the earth. What is Jesus doing? He's manifesting the oath of God's name through the word of God into you and me. How is that oath manifested in light? The light is light indestructible. Praise the Lord. So don't look at yourself. The scripture is not based on you and me. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. That's the reason why God came with the law first. All right, you think you guys know what you're doing? All right, I'll give you a law. And through this law, I will tell you what you must do and what you must not do. That if you break this law, you will die. And guess what we did? We chose to die. Hello, repeatedly we chose to die. God took the Jewish nation and he used it as an example. Even the guys who studied the book chose to die. Hello, the guys who studied the book, memorized the book, chose to die. And God says, this is why. Because you refuse to come to me. So Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. But the scriptures speak of me. You refuse to come to me that you may have life. Is that true about you and me? I hope not. I hope not. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. Why? Because I am the oath. I am the oath that God has sworn for you. I am the oath. And as long as you cling to me somehow, God will work his plan into you. Somehow, God will work his plan into you. Somehow, God will take you out of the junkyard and put you together so that you will become sons of God. Somehow, I will do it. What you cannot conceive, what you cannot understand, what you do not have the power to manifest in yourselves, I will do. David immediately understood that. Save me, O God, by thy name. Vindicate me by thy power. That's why God loved him. Can you see God? Because the purpose of the teaching of the word in this place is so that you will see God. How will you see God? As the word becomes light inside of you. And in that light, which is his light open to you, you will see light. And the moment you see light, that light will fill your being. God will clothe you in that light. And he will become the father of lights, and you will become those living lights, morning stars. So right from the start, God took Abraham out and he said, look at the stars. This is how your descendants will be like. He was speaking prophetically. Amen. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the fulfillment of that prophetic. For you and me to become stars in the heavenly places, it is something entirely and comprehensively and totally beyond anything that we can do in and of ourselves, either singularly or collectively. It is entirely a Passover that is entirely engineered from the heart of the Father, entirely engineered in the Word of God, who is the Son. And what is in the Word is brought to life in us by the Holy Spirit. It is a triune work. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, God says, I will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants, so that you will love me, in order that you may live. Why do we celebrate Holy Communion? We celebrate Holy Communion because it's a celebration of the mystery of the love of God. And the love of God is not a romance. It is a romance in a very deep sense of the word. through the cross. Praise the Lord. So the word of the cross is the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. What's the purpose of the power of God? So that all things inside of us will be of the power of God and not of ourselves. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. I will give you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think, according to the power that works within you. Where does that power come out? It comes out of the light of the word. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says, Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. The his power is in the word, guys. He's talking about that word that is meant to become the light of life within you. Amen. You know, today man is seeking to break the atom so that he can tap the energy that is in the atom. In the church, we are trying to break into the seed of Christ so that we can release the seed of Christ, the power that is inside the seed of Christ, so that we can become sons of God. Prophetic parables. Praise the Lord. Revelation 21 says, when that light is released, you will live in that light. You don't need the sun and the moon anymore. Praise the Lord. John was a fisherman. What did he understand? Just God just took him into a vision and he just told him these things. He's just a simple-minded fisherman. He didn't cook these things up because they were entirely beyond his intelligence. He was no nuclear physicist. To understand light or to understand the theories of light, he was no Einstein. He was just a simple fisherman who believed in God. He was open to the faith of God and he saw the plan of God. And he just recorded it. He recorded it as the testimony of Jesus, because all of the Revelation comes out of the plan of God that is to be unveiled in the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus will be salvation. It will also be judgment. It will also be judgment. Let's look at Psalm 2. Verse 12. Psalm 2, verse 12. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Praise the Lord. Luke 22. Shall we pray first? Father, we thank you for the oath that is to become light inside of us. As your oath is revealed to our hearts, so that it will bring into us the oath of purpose, the oath of destiny, the oath of sonship, the oath of salvation, the oath of healing, the oath of sanctification, the oath of peace, the oath of righteousness, the oath of your presence, the oath of being made, the oath of being created, the oath of being chosen, the oath of being anointed, the oath of, O God, being a host of things, Lord, that your word describes in awesome detail. Our minds can't comprehend such realities, Lord. Father, only you can speak that light into being inside of us. Only you can make the word manifest in us in a living revelation by the Holy Spirit. Only you can bring that oath to light inside of us in a living witness. One day we will live, move, and have our being in that light. One day we will be translated all over the universe in that light, Lord. One day, O God, we will travel and live and move and have our being in that light. That light that expresses your omniscience, your omnipresence, your omnipotence, O God. That light that expresses your immutability. The light in which, O God, we can live by oath and know, O God, that we live forever. That light that communicates eternity, that light that communicates the abiding, that light that communicates the indestructible, that light that is to be woven into the fabrics of our being so that we will become sons in the light, Lord. That you will be the Father of light who bestows on us every good thing, every perfect gift. And all of these giftings, O God, all of these perfect elements of your grace will be revealed in us in the Son. So Holy Spirit, we commit our hearts to you. Teach us to receive the Son. Teach us to pay homage to the Son. Reveal the Son in our hearts. Let the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus be released into our hearts. That the surpassing greatness of the power will be of you and not of ourselves. O God, we are tired of trying our best. We pray for your best. We pray for the light of your life to manifest in us. We pray for your power to work in us. We pray that you will propel us, O God, in energized realities of your life built into our being in the word of your oath. We ask you to bless the church in this reality, in this realization, so that we will rise into heavenly places at the speed of thought, as our thoughts function in the light of your life. Father, there is so much for us to receive. There is so much for us to realize. They are beyond our intellect, but our heart knows it very well. We want to thank you for this, O God, your great work of grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of the unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. So for this Passover to take place, and this Passover is manifested in light, it will tabernacle you in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. This Passover, the key to this Passover is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you are sincere and truthful before God, you will realize all that God has for you. Just listen to His word. Just accept His word. Understand His word. Choose to walk in His word, and you will see the light. The light of His life transfigure you, transform you. Amen. And when that realization manifests inside of you, you will be a new creation. Sons of the living God, clothed with the light of His life, able to stand in heavenly places in His light. Even as God has put the planets in their orbits. Huh? Look at all that. Huh? They are all prophetic symbolisms of how we will function before God. Just as the planets stand in fixed orbits, so we too will have orbits. The only thing is our orbits will be defined according to what as God has called us and defined according to what God has purposed in our lives. Think outside the box. God is not talking about things that you and I can conceive in our minds. Right? You remember Isaiah? Is it Isaiah? Isaiah 55, right? My thoughts, verse 7 and 8. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your ways and your thoughts. When God says love and we say love, we are not saying the same thing. When God says wisdom and we say wisdom, we are not saying the same thing. When God says power and we say power, it is not the same thing. When God says authority and we say authority, it's not the same thing. That's why God has to reveal the reality into you. It cannot come from you because you know nothing of it. When God says anointing and we say anointing, it is not the same thing. If Lucifer had developed his anointings by just listening to God, he would never have fallen. But he chose to develop his anointings in his own understanding, in his own knowledge, in his own actions, and he died. We too have chosen to live our own way, and history has shown us that when we live our own way, we die. God gave us His word, and He says, I will take this word and I will write it into your heart. I will make it an oath in your heart. I will take this word and I will manifest it so that it becomes like the light of life inside of you. It will become like the living sun inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we put off all these lights, there will be pitch darkness in this place. If we bring just one candle, how it transforms the darkness, right? If we look at the lights that are on this place, you can see the shadows of darkness that are around it. If we bring the sun that shines over the earth and put it inside this room, there will be absolutely no darkness anywhere in this room. Even those that are around the corner will all see light, because the walls will reflect that light. And because the intensity of that light is so great, even the dark places will be full of light. Yeah, because you cannot contain that light. It will just manifest through everything, even through these physical walls. So in the same way, if we bring the light of God into us, there will be no darkness, isn't it? Very simple. So can you be perfect? Easy. Just receive the light. And the light will drive out all darkness. What's so hard about that? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, remember me. Remember me. Understand what God has given you in me. And everything God has given you in me is an oath. And when the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. What did He give them? Position. With Him. Did they deserve that position? No. But He gave it. Why? Because that's what the Father ordained. That's what the Son came to fulfill. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings into our life. Do you understand that? That none of us deserves to sit with Him. Certainly not in the heavenly places. Certainly not above every principality, power, might, and dominion. But nonetheless, by the oath of God, by the merits of the Lamb, we are all given that position. Isn't that good? That's what you call grace. So don't try and earn grace. Receive it and walk into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Or with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So you becoming morning stars will take place. It's only a question of whether you are willing to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. It will take place. Whether you understand it or you don't understand it, it will take place. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. It will come. You will be fruitful vines, branches of the vine. Why? Because God has sworn an oath. You're partaking of that oath. That's what the cup represents, the oath of the blood. The bread represents the substance of that oath. And that substance is meant to be worked in you. This picture is very simple. Take bread and eat it, it'll become part of your body, right? Hello. Yeah? So God is giving you a simple picture. Eat the word of God and it will become part of you. And as you eat the word of God, you will grow. You will change. Isn't that nice? But we invented religion, you see. So it cannot be that easy. How can it be like easy? And what happens to intelligent people like me? So we've got to make it easy. We've got to make it difficult, right? At least to give meaning to our PhDs. Praise God. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And if you do this in remembrance of me, whatever stands in that bread will be manifested in substance into your being, and you will be created. Isn't that nice? Praise God. Because God has known us from before our unformed substance. Now, what does he see? We don't know. What does he know? We don't know. What will we become? We don't know. We can say nice things like sons of God and morning stars, but honestly, those are just prophetic pictures of something that is so awesome. Who are these kings who will sit in heavenly places? Who are these prophetic people who will become the oracles of God? We don't know that. We can see and glimpse little things as we grow in the Lord, but what we see and what we understand is like a drop in the ocean. And that's why as we walk into a new year, you've got to get rid of all of your prejudices and all of your anger and all of your unwillingness to work with each other. You've got to stop allowing yourselves to be manipulated by the evil one. We are here to build the kingdom of God. What God has for you, nobody can take away from you. Except you. Hello, the devil can't steal it. He's the father of lies. Through the lie, he steals it. But you have to believe the lie for him to steal it. So in the end, the only person who is responsible for lost destiny is you and you yourself. That's all. So what do you choose to hear? Who do you choose to remember? Remember, this oath and this covenant that is sworn in this word is given to you. It will be developed in you from the heart of your Father. It is not a prerequisite based on your intelligence or your talents or your brilliance. Thank God for that. The meek shall inherit the earth. In the natural world, that is ridiculous. It is silly. The meek don't go anywhere, guys. They get buried. Don't you know that? In the kingdom of God, the meek will become kings. In the kingdom of God, the meek will crush the enemy under their feet. Why? Because God will manifest such a peace in their hearts that it is so powerful that every kind of evil will be rolled over. That Satan himself will be crushed under our feet. All you have to do is find the peace. God has a sense of humor, isn't it? All you have to do is find the peace. But we are so troubled. When someone gets anointed, we get jealous. When we pray for someone, we don't pray wholeheartedly. Not realizing that we are members one of another. If he succeeds, you will be blessed. Why? Because you prayed for him. It's very simple, guys. The whole kingdom of God is linked together. If we keep on putting knives into each other and being jealous of each other, why must he be there and why should she be there? We are never going to grow up. Because in the end, every reality of the anointing that is developed in individual believers will flow into everyone. Because we are members one of another. Because we are called to serve each other and to bless each other. God's designed it in the system in which he is creating. So if you're 75 years old and you're thinking life has passed me by, this guy is talking about things that I will never see, that's falsehood, because you will live forever. If you don't see it here, you will certainly see it in heaven far more clearly than you see it here. Praise the Lord. This is my body which is given for you. That's why it will happen. Because whether you understand it or not, you are a member of this body. He is the head, and everything will flow from that head into the body. All you have to do to be a member of this body is to remember him. It's not hard. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. In the blood of Jesus Christ, an oath has been sworn." It's a new oath. It's an oath of newness. It's an oath of a new creation. It is an oath of abundance. It is an oath of limitlessness. It's an oath of grace upon grace. I enjoy preaching the word of God. When it's really in the flow, it's really beautiful. It takes away all that we have learned in the world. You don't have to struggle to get the things of God. You have to learn how to rest in him, guys. It's totally the opposite. Hello. To realize the prophetic in God, you have to learn how to get that rest in your heart. If you can rest in God, you have it all. In the world, they say, if you work hard enough, you will have it all, and it's a myth. Nobody has it all. Amen. So in Jesus Christ, you will get over the disappointments of your life. So don't let your past imprison you. Don't let somebody else's treachery in your life destroy your whole future. As we go into 2005, don't let the past imprison your future. Don't let wrong thoughts and wrong value systems, false beliefs, half-baked truths that are not truths at all, imprison you. Because the gift of Christmas is opened in your heart. And the gift of Christmas, when opened in your heart, will shine like the stars. Amen. That's why he's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for Jesus Christ our Lord. In him we are blessed. In him we have an abundance. It is an abundance of awesome proportions, far beyond what our minds can conceive. That abundance is contained in your word. And your spirit will release that abundance to us in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. And nothing will be impossible to any one of us. What an awesome man.